Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, friendos. Another edition of In This League on the daily right here on Sports Grid. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, we are going to actually be continuing this pretty cool series of looking at each divisional setup with the teams, how they did in their draft, and maybe even take it a little over to the betting side and see what the NFL draft might have changed for these teams. So we can see how realistic are the stuff you can go do on the sports books right now. How realistic is, you know, this team winning this amount or as contenders? And, you know, you go on Twitter, you know that, oh my God, they drafted Jerry Jeudy. He's a super, every rookie's a superstar. They're going to unseat every player that is behind them. They're the greatest thing ever. People can't
wait to see
themselves.
All those Jake Fromm games from Buffalo this year.
Yeah.
Just way over that first round pick of Josh Allen, right?
He was one of the few, though. Fromm was one of the few that like didn't get it. But I guess it's kind of like every running back that got, if you follow Twitter, every running back that got drafted is going to overseat the veteran in front of him. Every wide receiver is going to overseat most 95% of the time the wide receiver in front of him. And then, the quarterbacks are kind of like to the side. No one gets super excited about quarterbacks because, you know, fantasy people don't want to draft quarterbacks. So they're just like, nah, Burrow, whatever. He'll play some games. He'll do some stuff. Want to remind you guys, go and check us out over at inthisleague.com. That goes to our Patreon. Of course. Now, why would you want to do that? You say, Welsh, the world is falling apart. It's a pandemic. There's quarantines. Everything's going crazy. And we're like, I know, right? I know. We have got stuff for you. Well, we know. We're experiencing the same things. But the thing that we are here to provide is a whole lot of extra content and for not a bunch. So $5 a month. Brand new month coming up on Friday. So if you want to hold out for a couple days, do it. And check us out on Friday, May 1st. We are going to have a ton of new things going on. And we've got the secret shows, of course. We've got GroupMe rooms. But the list you guys are really tuned into. Now, here's two things. Let's start with this, Bogman. Our boy Craig Mish, who is right here on Sports Grid, is actually reporting today, not that this is necessarily news we didn't already know, but he's putting a little bit more definitives on it, that the 2020 MLB first-year player draft is now fully expected to be conducted in June. The date has not been determined. Okay. Now, why is that important? Well, because that is normally when the draft happens. It happens like it's usually like June. I don't even remember what it was scheduled this year, to be honest with you. June 8th,
like
June
9th.
Somewhere between like the 8th and the 12th or something like that is usually when the draft goes on. And it would have been 40 rounds. And I think one of the biggest questions leading in, because, you know, all these guys have stopped. They've stopped playing. They're not doing anything right now. Was a version of the draft was on the table. But when the hell is this actually going to happen? Was it going to happen, you know, I don't know, in, you know, September, or could they run some type of training camp thing? Because another thing that's on the table, Boggs, and this is for baseball, of course, is the J2 class, the international signings. That always happens in July, the first couple days in July. They've said that potentially could be pushed back until January of 2021.
Wow.
But what's weird is most of the guys have already deals set in place. So hearing that the MLB draft will happen in June, albeit maybe a couple days later than it was normally scheduled, this kind of sheds a little bit of light that most likely the international signing period is probably going to stay about the same. The other thing that he reports is that 10 rounds is still on the table as far as the discussions go, But if they don't come to an agreement on that, the draft will be five rounds. So that's a report from Craig Mish right here on Sports Grid, and just kind of confirming a few things. But the biggest piece of news there is the MLB draft is happening in June.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's almost probably one of those things where, and we talked about this a little bit over the weekend, I can't remember on which show, but, you know, if one league does something, you need to be doing it if you're the other league. That's just kind of how it goes. So, you know, with the NFL draft going off and going off kind of without a hitch, I think it's great news for baseball, which already had a social distancing type of a draft anyway, right? Where they'd only bring in like three people to MLB Network. Harold Reynolds would compare them all to the best players that have ever played baseball.
Yeah, everybody is Bo Jackson. That's how
everybody's
that goes.
Bo Jackson. Everybody's the next Roger Clemens. Yeah. Byron Buxton was Mike Trout with more speed.
That was my favorite, the Kyler Murray thing. He was like, this guy really reminds me of Bo Jackson. It's like, oh, really? Is that because he plays football and baseball? Is that why he reminds you of Bo Jackson?
It's
same
just
talent?
Do one cent of research.
Yeah, the baseball one, like to your point, is usually they would bring in like, you know, five or six guys. They'd be standing in what essentially was like the MLB Network studio. You know, it's just a set where they've got, you know, a baseball field floor, a bunch of tables, and the guys would sit over in the corner and they would get a couple interviews. It has, and there's no fans. It's just people sitting at desk. There's no fanfare to the MLB draft. And then once you get into all the other rounds, dude, that is just like phone calls. Like literally, if you watch the broadcast, it's maybe them breaking down a few guys, and it's like, you know,
with the 37th pick on the vertiver, they select player 7462 ID 7465A.
And then it's like, this is the lamest thing that you could possibly do.
I used to get super annoyed, and I still do get annoyed. I mean, even with this virtual draft, right? I just think it's lame that like a guy that is going to get drafted late in the sixth or seventh round, and that's in, you know, the football draft. I mean, the baseball draft goes way back to 40 rounds and stuff, usually most years. But I think it's lame that a guy has to learn that he was drafted by the Colts. I mean, maybe he gets a phone call and everything, but his family and the people rooted for him forever and stuff. It's like there's a Verizon commercial, and then this guy's name gets announced because it's on the, you know, the bottom line thing, and it says, you know, Bills select blah, 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 blah. And while you're watching a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah,
so
no.
I always thought that was kind of lame. They should just make it more of a spectacle.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wish they would. This is not going to happen this year. Baseball is very suited for this. So, like, unless there was a major question for baseball around, you know, the evaluation process, or, you know, the lost time, you know, financially sets everybody back, blah, 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 stuff like that. Unless there was that sitting out there, then there, that would be maybe a reason to like push it back. And, you know, I had speculated that you could, if they really wanted to, they could try to push it back to like September, October, and maybe they could try to implement, if things lax out a little bit, they could implement like a scouting combine. But here's the deal with a lot of people. I actually was talking about this subject on our buddy Justin Mason. He did this pod Palooza over the weekend, like 12 hours of podcast streaming, is that like, most of the guys, most of the teams, they know what their evaluation is. Like the evaluation, right, or the structure of how these athletes are training at young levels is exponentially better than it was 20 years ago. I mean, the guys in the Dominican camps and the academies at 16, 15, 14, 13, the guys in the high school and the tournaments and the perfect game and the college guys, all these guys are training at a level that is way beyond the years. And most of these teams, not a lot was going to change over a short period of time. So they go in and they say, well, we're cool with 5 or 10 rounds because we know, you know, we know where our money was going to go regardless. There wasn't much going to change. So they're comfortable with kind of, you know, going and making these moves. And the broadcast for MLB, it'll, you know, it'll just be the same. They'll probably take some cues from the NFL draft, to be honest with you. And I don't know, Mitt Boggs, maybe even possibly they wanted to wait until the NFL draft was done to kind of see how the NFL draft did it, what type of fanfare was around it, what type of technical issues, before they committed to being like, yeah, we're good in June.
Right. And, you know, I think the success of the NFL draft, because they said it's, you know, the most watched NFL draft ever because there's no games going on and all that stuff. I think that lends a lot of credence. And you know, like we said before, a lot of these teams are going to be, a lot of these leagues are going to be copycatting each other.
I think MLB should do
just
the same.
Makes the most sense.
I think they should do the same. I think they should actually get more interaction than ever before and get these guys to zoom in, and they could just, you know, get these pitching instead of, like, you know, three guys, or, you know, a couple years ago it was like Xavier Edwards wearing a bow tie and stuff. But now you can just have all these guys tune in, and you could just literally copy what the NFL drafted with the MLB.
Hopefully they don't copy one trait, and that is listing off all of the horrible things that have happened to that prospect as they have one of the best moments of their life. Yeah, this is a really good moment for them, but let's not forget that their parent had a drug problem until they were 18 years old or whatever. You know, let's not do any of that crap that the NFL did.
Again,
everything else was pretty good.
That's why you wait and you see what things they did wrong about that. Well, now, why is that important? You're kind of asking. I transitioned into that from our Patreon. Well, you guys know I have my top 500 prospect list. I have for almost a year now. Now, you know, I don't do fanfare, you know, like a lot of the other prospect people will do, where it's like, hey, here's the article and I got all the guys and it's coming up, my draft. I have had my draft list for a year, and you guys can check it out.
It's just constant.
Yeah. The how detailed it is changes over the months. Like, obviously, you know, this class, I wasn't going crazy while the season was playing last year, and I've slowly, progressively been doing updates. Well, I've been in the process over the last week or two of really digging into the class, like going back. I'm writing some full-on notes, kind of some adjustments I've been doing to my actual prospect list I've been doing here, writing out their tools, where their concerns are, and I've just been watching video. And I'm revamping the list, and I've already had some pretty hardcore stuff get changed. They'll 100% be 50 deep. And what's important about this, I want to remind people, is mine is for fantasy, because I've seen, you know, a lot of other new lists are out there, and these lists are not for fantasy. They're just, hey, this is how I think about the prospect. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but things can and do change for fantasy. So my list is going to be at least on May 1st, at least on the new update over on our Patreon, 50 deep of how I rank them from a fantasy perspective. So you can check that out. And there's some other cool stuff going on around the draft world. I'll be taking part in a Prospects Live is doing this actual, like, live mock draft where they're going to have analysts covering the picks, and I'll be doing the Diamondbacks. And again, you get to see some coverage of that. But if you want to see where I stand on it from the fantasy perspective, plus all my other prospect updates and everything I do in the baseball world, that's on Patreon. On the inverse, Bogman, on May 1st, on Friday, will have his Dynasty Football ranks up, which is going to have all the rookie class added with all the normal players, and that update is going to be there. So why did I lead it up to saying, hey, you can check out May 1st? Because it's a pretty damn good day to sign up. You got a whole month ahead of you. Bogman and I have some pretty crucial big updates, plus all the comedy show stuff and everything else that's going on, the live streams and everything. Bogman did like 17 hours of live streams, so we didn't do a whole bunch of social distancing with Bogman this past week. We'll get back at all the stuff next week. So come and sign up. InThisLeague.com will take you to our Patreon, and we would appreciate it. We're Bogman and I, independent podcasters. Mang, help us out.
That's right. So much fun. Come and get more than your money's worth. It's really the secret shows are great, and we're going to start a bracket for those next month as well, so you can go back and listen to those. Some really good moments in ITL history. A lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, so just feed that need, man. Like, I'm excited. Once I get this draft one done, I'm going to go back and do my kind of critical international J2 stuff, because that'll be changing around the corner. Plus, last little plug, Prospect One podcast. Essentially, May is going to be an entire coverage on the MLB draft. So nice. Every show is going to just be a different version of talking about the prospects. Ralph Lifshitz from Prospects Live is going to be on me with me this week. So that should be so much fun. You know, one thing I want to tell you I did last night, and I think you do this. You will sometimes, you do this actually to a much bigger degree than me. You will put something on in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Because but to do other work.
Right. Usually, when I do something like that, 99.99% of the time, it is something I've already seen. It's, you know, I've seen Parks and Rec a million times. I've seen Futurama a million times, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'll put some crap on in the background. And a lot of the time when I know I need to buckle down, I'll put something on that I don't like so that I won't watch.
That is like, so weird. Why not just like put some music on and not have anything on?
Because whatever else it is, if I like it, will distract me a little bit. But like, I hated the show Weeds And I noticed that it's on Netflix pretty recently. So I was like, in the middle of all my stuff, I was like, OK, I'll throw Weeds on because I know I don't like that show and I won't pay too much attention to it. But I can't, like, it makes me antsy if the TV is off, like, because I'll just sit there and turn it on and start watching something interesting. So I put some crappy TV on and then I get my work done.
See, I don't have that really because, you know, my house, the kids and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping,
your house,
like,
is chaos.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't have a TV just rolling on. So when I'm going to watch something, it's full on commitment. It's usually on my computer, by the way, late at night. Last night, though, I was like, I kind of want to put something on, but I also want to actually get some of my work done. And I want to watch some video, write up some stuff. And I've got two computers here. And I was like, I'm going to put something on that isn't going to drive me in while also being able to kind of do some of my work. But I don't want to just put something on that I've seen before. So I was scrolling through and I've been on a little action kick lately. That movie Extraction on Netflix is fantastic with Chris Hemsworth. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Or whichever Hemsworth, Thor. Great movie. So I've kind
of
like, and I've had done the Mission Impossibles and stuff. So I'm kind of in an action kick. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I put on Hobbs and Shaw last night.
Oh, no.
The Rock.
Man.
And Jason Statham. Now, I know it can sound okay.
Is it as bad as it looks?
So here's the deal with it. It's not, and Idris Elba is like the bad guy in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
he's
not
Black Superman.
He's Black Superman.
I saw the commercial 1,000 times.
And The Rock confirmed.
I haven't seen the movie.
And The Rock, by the way, in the movie confirms. He goes, man, he is Black Superman. That's what The Rock says. It's about what you would expect from a Fast and Furious movie. But there's one thing I absolutely loved about the movie. Absolutely loved. And it was the only thing that really got me away was when I closed my computer. Was the cameos that they decided to do. Like, Fast and Furious will always get their new bit has been they'll get like one new person. They had like Charlize Theron or whatever. They always get like a big actor to be a part of the bad guys, or they'll add Jason Statham. Idris Elba was that. But The Rock has got some buddies. You know, spoiler, I guess, if you give a effing crap about Hobbs and Shaw, but there's a couple great cameos. One is from what's the name of the guy he always does the movies with?
Who?
The comedian. The Rock. The Rock always does the movies with
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. So Kevin Hart has a great scene in it, and he has a couple scenes in it, actually, where he shows up, and he's really funny. But my favorite, and I wasn't looking at them, so I'm doing my work over here, I'm listening, I'm like, that voice is familiar. Ryan Reynolds has multiple scenes movie, and he plays this FBI agent, and it's like Deadpool meets Van Wilder as an FBI agent in the movie, and they totally set him up. They had an after credit scene.
Have a spin-off.
They have a dude. I'm telling you, the names they gave these guys. His name was Locke, and Kevin Hart's was like another name. I'm telling you, they're gonna do a Hobbs and Locke. I promise you, because those two, it's The Rock and him, kind of go at it as like friendly buddies. And it is a hilarious interaction. They did an after credit scene with Ryan Reynolds in it. And I have some theories on it. They're going to do one with Ryan. And it was great. And that was the only thing that was
that
great about
the
movie.
Theories on Fast and the Furious.
I do. No. Get it right, Bogman. Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw. Isn't it the same?
Presented by Fast and Furious. Hobbs and Shaw. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk actually about the NFL draft, going through a little team preview or a team breakdown as far as divisional goes. So we're going to go to the AFC West.
North.
We're going to go north, south, east, west, Just stick around. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. In This League, right here on Sports Grid. Let's get in to this breakdown divisionally. We're looking at the NFL draft as far as, or it's a kind of a post-NFL draft look. Divisionally, you started it with Bubba on the Tuesday episode. Wednesday, we're jumping into the AFC North, and you can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Any questions related to this? Friendos, Baltimore Ravens, Bogman. It hurts your soul how good the Baltimore Ravens were in the NFL draft. So let's walk through how we want to tackle the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, you know, first we take a look at what they needed going into the draft, and these are from the Draft Network. Linebacker, interior offensive line, wide receiver, edge, running back, and interior defensive line was really the needs. Now, they addressed the interior of the offensive line by drafting Ben Bredesen from Michigan, but they also signed DJ Fluker earlier in the day as we're recording this. So they're set there. The other need that I thought they really had was at middle linebacker, someone to replace CJ Mosley. And they got that in Patrick Queen. He just fell all the way back to them. They didn't have to move to get him or anything, even with the Chargers trading up to take Kenneth Murray. So they got a starter there. Then they went Josh Dobbins at, you know, it wasn't even a position of need for them. They just kind of had it in their mind. Look, we need to go and snap up this guy because he should not have fallen to 55. So that was ridiculous. Justin Matabuikwe from A&M. This dude is a monster defensive tackle that was projected by a lot of people to be a first, second round border guy, and they got him in the third round.
And that's part of that interior defensive line as well. I mean, you know, with them trading Calais Campbell, that's kind of, or trading four, that was kind of one of the big lookers for me when it's, you know, dealing with the interior defensive line or any part of the defensive line. To go get Calais Campbell, bring in your big boy from A&M, and then they also got Bredesen, like you said, in the fourth round. I mean, they treated that like that was their top need, as well as, I mean, they really were able to mark off, I guess, as you look at this, Boggs, when you look at what they did in the totality of the draft, they got a running back, they got a wide receiver, they really, really hit that defensive line a whole bunch. They got their big linebacker. The only thing it doesn't seem like, now you tell me differently, is maybe the offensive line. They did spend a third-round pick on Tyree Phillips. Was that enough?
Well, yeah, well, Ben Bredesen is the interior offensive lineman.
Oh, I meant Washington when I was saying interior defensive line. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at that wrong. You are correct about that. So, they spent third and fourth round picks on the offensive line. Was that enough?
And they signed Fluker today. So, now, you're replacing Marshall Yanda, a Hall of Fame guard. You're never going to have anyone as good as him. But they have options, at least now. And, you know, like the Welsh said, Devin Duvernay from Texas, who had over 100 catches. James Prochet, who led the nation in targets last year with 170, and I think he led in receptions with over 130 as well. Got both of those guys. And Geno Stone is a dude that, and I was saying it on the stream, the Welsh, Daniel Jeremiah loves this guy. Thought he should have been a third round pick. He fell all the way to the seventh. So it's nice when you have one of the most complete rosters in the league to just be able to sit back and pick off of, you know, BPA pretty much when it comes around. The only true need that they had was that middle linebacker, in my opinion, and they got it in Patrick Queen. So A-plus draft for the Ravens, the Welsh. They are projected to win. Are you looking at it?
Yes.
Okay. So they're projected to win 11 games. If you had to throw a couple bones on over 11 or under 11, under 11 pays a little bit better, plus 103, minus 125 for the over 11, what would you bet on?
I would play the over on that one. You know, the division, yeah. You know, we'll see where the Steelers are. You know, Steelers are always going to be tough, but the Bengals are in a, you know, they're in a big transitional spot in Cleveland. I don't know. You know, I think Baltimore's in a really good spot to pull in a 12 or 13 win season. And I think even when we look over at the, we're over on DraftKings Sportsbook right now. If you look at championship winner, they've got the second lowest odds if you're playing that game for Super Bowl winner. They are plus, I think, 700. I think the best, the low, when I say the best, it's the worst odds you can get are the best teams. And I think Kansas City's plus 600, Baltimore's plus 700. So I'm going to, I would actually feel very comfortable about taking the over on 11. I know that's a big number. What about you?
Yeah, I think over 11 as well. Baltimore also minus 200 to win the division. Everyone else plus big time. I mean, the Steelers plus 350, plus 500 for the Browns, plus 2,000 for the Bengals. So, you know, every $1 you lay down for Cincinnati, you're getting 20 back. It might be worth throwing 10 bucks on, you know. This is just a rich get richer draft for the Ravens.
Yeah. So. The Cincinnati Bengals, maybe not necessarily so much the case because they are still in big rebuild. The NFL Draft Network had quarterback as the obvious primary need, and that's something that they were able to establish. Edge rusher, interior offensive line, linebacker, wide receiver. I mean, just about everything except the secondary at this point. There's some ancillary ones where they could go and tackle that. And Boggs, Joe Burrow, that was what they did. You know, they're going to build this team around Joe Burrow. And, you know, something I had speculated on that I still do love, and I love that the Bengals were aggressive about it because, you know, if you just look at them upwards, you see like, wow, they got AJ Green, they got Tyler Boyd, they got Joe Mixon. Like, there's a lot of things for Burrow to play around with, but there's not a lot of actually guarantees moving forward with Mixon holding out and AJ Green in this weird transitional spot. So for the Bengals to then take what might have been perceived as a lower of the secondary needs in a wideout and be aggressive and go Burrow and T. Higgins with the first two picks, I thought that was a fantastic play by the Bengals.
Yeah, and really, the linebackers as well, because what they really need was speed, and they got it with these guys. You know, they took Joe Burrow with 1-1, and then the first pick in the second round, they took T. Higgins, like you mentioned, out of Clemson, a wide receiver I love. And I read today that a lot of the beat writers just expect him to go in and smoke John Ross. Like, they do not like John Ross in Cincinnati. Obviously, I think he was the 4 overall pick and has been a bust. So they expect T. Higgins to just go over and take that role right away. So we'll see if that actually happens. But the linebackers, too, they've needed speed forever, a linebacker, ever since Vontaze Burfict has been, you know, gone and crazy. So getting Logan Wilson from Wyoming, Akeem Davis-Gaither from App State, and Marcus Bailey in the 7th is a great value as well. It's just going to make, you know, I saw one of their writers saying, I think these guys could start for the next 5 years. These three dudes, which
really
would be insane. I don't think Marcus Bailey's going to start. You know, he ran slow, and you know, he's going to have to really earn it. But I think Logan Wilson and Akeem Davis-Gaither are probably starters from day one as well. So you have to give, you know, what did they get on our? Let me look at it here. The Bengals. Remember, we did the score thing. They were 5th on this.
Oh yeah, do you still have that up?
Yeah, I have it up. They have all A's except for, I think, a B from, let's see, TD Wire, and a B-plus from the Washington Post, and a B-plus from Mel Kiper Jr.
They were giving that 3.72 GPA. I'll keep this up as we're going through some of these, because what is actually, it's got to be scary for you as a Steeler fan.
Yeah.
Baltimore Ravens were 3rd on the NFL draft grades. They were given a 3.79. They didn't get the lowest score they got was a B, and that was actually by Pro Football Focus. They got 2 B pluses. Otherwise, you're in the A territory. Even with, they only did get 1 A plus. That was from Vinny Iyer from Sporting News, but it was A's across the board. So they got the 3rd best score at 3.79, and then the AFC North comes in with the 5th best score at 3.72 with the Cincinnati Bengals, and they were kind of the same thing. They got 1 B, 2 B pluses, and then just a slew of different A's.
Yeah, DraftKings Welsh has them at 6 wins. What are you thinking on that, over or under the 6? And it pays the same on over and under. So -110 and -110.
I would go with the under if I had to make a bet. I don't think this would be somewhere I would. Well, you know, I'm saying I don't love, but Baltimore is going to run away with the division-ish. Pittsburgh is going to be a problem-ish. I'm just saying, like, Baltimore, I think Baltimore wins this division. It doesn't mean Pittsburgh isn't going to be a thing. I could see them splitting. I could see Pittsburgh winning 10 games.
The Steelers would have been in the playoffs if they had the seven teams. They would have been the seventh team last year with that crappy, terrible offense that didn't put up 28 points. So
I want to feel optimistic because of the weapons that are around, but you know, Cleveland is still a problem, or you know, like they're going to be a problem, or they'll be a problem, if you know what I mean by that. And I think divisionally, this is a tough spot for the Bengals, so it's definitely under six for me. And maybe more I talk about it, I feel a little bit confident. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I think you just got to give them a year. You got to give Burrow a year to adjust. You got to give everyone a year to click. Their first round pick from last year, Jonah Williams, hasn't even taken a snap yet. So he's going to be in there as well. There's a lot of growing that needs to happen before we start seeing all the gains from these good drafts. But this is another good draft in my division that makes me sick.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers, they were walking in with needs essentially on the line, whether it offensively or defensively, according to NFL Draft Network. The secondary needs, quarterback is kind of a glaring one with what happened with you guys last year. Running back has been on the board with James Conner's injury stuff. And then maybe you could look at, like I said, edge and offense. They get specific when they talk about offensive tackle or edge rusher, but it's just like offensive line, defensive line, and then quarterback, running back. Those were the big needs. You guys didn't have a first round pick. And the first pick was a really weird one, I thought. Not that it's not bad, not that it's bad or anything like that, but Chase Claypool with the 49th overall pick, just a bigger bodied Notre Dame quote wide receiver, really looks like he could play more of that fringy offensive receiving tight end type of a role.
Right.
But I just saw today that the Pittsburgh Steelers are committed to playing him as a wide out, and he would play on the outside, putting Juju back into the slot. So
Juju's so good at the slot.
Yeah. What do you think about Claypool?
Well, I like, now that I know that they're not going to screw with him at tight end or anything, I like the pick. I mean, you know, a lot of comparisons body wise to Mike Evans, because he's tall, he's like 6'5", and he also ran a 4.39, which at his size is like all the spark scores and body comparisons and all that stuff are to Megatron, which is ridiculous. You know, no one's Megatron, Calvin Johnson, but he is.
Chase Claypool is not Megatron.
No, he's not, even a little bit. But it's just that's what I don't like about the Steelers scouting stuff, is that they generally go for the high spark score guys. Like, I thought for sure they're going to draft Miles Boykin last year because he had a crazy high spark score. And they didn't, the Ravens did. So, but this is kind of one of those things, which, you know, Juju had one as well. So, that's kind of what they value without having a first round pick. Chase Claypool is fine. You know, he's going to be a red zone factor immediately. And he was a special teams guy. Like, he wanted to play special teams even when at Notre Dame, they're like, you don't have to. He's like, no, I want to. So he's an ace at special teams. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. The rest of the draft, Kevin Dotson, I know, was a guy the Steelers really liked because they wanted him to be at the combine, even though he wasn't invited, and he was the highest non-combine invitee drafted here in the fourth round. I like Anthony McFarland. You know, once again, the comparisons are probably a bit ridiculous, but a dude that didn't have too many 15-plus touch games at Maryland. So a guy that did that was Alvin Kamara, who wasn't drafted this low, but it was the same type of deal. You know,
I thought you guys had just,
better. Well, he just got better going forward. That's all.
Your team was really sneaky because, like, I really liked Antoine Brooks out of Maryland. I thought he was a really sneaky get that late. Maybe it's not so sneaky because everyone passed on him. McFarland, the Alvin Kamara comps, I think, are going a little bit nuts. And another one of those, dude, where it's like, people are like, "Poo, James Conner, better watch out. McFarland's coming." And it's like you need to chill out. Like, let's chill out for a second. McFarland could be fun, and maybe the back half a year is going to get away, but they are still committed to James Conner. They love him. They just want some help. I thought you guys put together, for having not as many picks as you do, I thought you guys put together a pretty solid construction.
Yeah, and we didn't even mention Alex Highsmith, the edge rusher out of Charlotte. You know, another high spark score guy that the Steelers like. But the Anthony McFarland stuff is funny because I feel like people did the same bit you should do with McFarland with Darrell Henderson last year. But I think because it didn't work out with Henderson, that no one is that high on McFarland, at least in my opinions. I think I might be higher on him than most people.
Yeah.
And I don't even feel like I'm that high.
Yeah, you so, were. Your Pittsburgh Steelers are set at an 8.5 over under. I know you are just, doesn't matter what anyone could say, you're going to click that over big time. -125, +103 for under 8.5.
Yeah, I think I would go over. I think the Steelers can win 9 or 10 games this year, especially with Roethlisberger back. He says he feels better. He's got that big, disgusting beard going on, and he said he won't shave it until he throws a pass in the NFL again. So that's going to be going on through week one.
Hopefully he's not going out in public because he's not going to be able to put a mask on. By the way, the Steelers only given a 2.68 GPA on the NFL draft grade trades that were the draft grades that we talked about, really towards the bottom, not a lot of love, even though they have a wide variance. They were A- by Chad Reuter from NFL.com, though he was the highest of any of the scorers, and the lowest down to Thor, who was the most aggressive, D-, absolutely hated what the Steelers did.
Yeah, I understand people hating it, and I understand people liking it. This is a fine draft to me. It's okay. You know, they got the guys that they wanted. There was a lot of buzz around Alex Highsmith, so I kind of thought that they would take him with that third-round pick. The Chase Claypool one took me completely by surprise just because I wanted J.K. Dobbins, and he was still on the board. So I thought that's what the Steelers were going to end up doing, but they wound up taking Claypool there and waiting for Anthony McFarland, which I think is good. And they have loved Dotson since the Senior Bowl. So that one, that's one that we should have known and we just didn't know. And Carlos Davis is kind of, and Antoine Brooks are kind of, you know, taking hope, guys.
Well, when we come back, we'll finish up the AFC North here with the Browns. And we're going to get to the AFC West, breaking down the team grades by draft and how they filled out. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Do you want two risk-free wagers up to $1,000? If so, go to pointsbet.com/grid. Open yourself up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID, and you'll get two risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept, where customers, they're rewarded by how much they win their bet. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets of up to $1,000 today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back. It's In This League. Bogman Welsh. Find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, and come and have some fun over on the Patreon. You can come and check us out. We would love to have you. You got Nick coming up tomorrow, right? A little bit of Winning Edge. CFL's Winning Edge. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. That's on Friday.
Friday. It's me tomorrow.
You know why?
Because we adjusted it last week. That's why I screwed myself up. Because it was my birthday.
Do I need to?
I've never heard you more confused.
I don't forget.
I was like, did I say his name wrong? Did I say the comp? What is the CFB Winning Edge? I'm like, what did I get wrong here? And you're just like, oh, no, it's the next
thing. No. That's on Friday. Well, I'll have Nick to talk some CFF for sure.
You got
to
finish season, too.
Yeah, and we have the CFB Winning Edge podcast as well, so you can check that out with me and Nick. That comes out every Thursday.
There you go.
So much fun.
Talking about and breaking down divisionally post-draft and how they did as a whole. You know, we talked about the fantasy element of it, and we dropped a brand new episode of the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. If you want to hear an early look at what the ranks look like for Bogman as far as fantasy goes for the rookies, and we kind of went into depth about that. We even did a broader stroke on it over on the Fantasy Black Book podcast. This is really digging in and seeing where the teams fill the needs. And the final one of the AFC North is the Cleveland Browns, who really seemed like they were going to be maybe more involved in the trade market. A lot of Odell stuff was being thrown out there.
Kareem Hunt, because he was an RFA. David Njoku.
David Njoku was the other one I was thinking that's really really popped out there. You know, and they made some moves. They brought in Keenum. You mentioned they brought Hunt back. They spent a lot of money on Austin Hooper. So where were the needs? Offensive line jumped out. Safety, linebacker. Those are the primary needs according to the NFL Draft Network. You also had secondary of interior. So looking at guards on the offensive line side, this is doubled up. They're saying tackle again, just the entire offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, safety, anything on the defense this team needed to go with. And Boggs, they were, I don't know if it was given a gift, Wurst was kind of the one that really fell, but it was kind of a no brainer why the Browns wouldn't trade out of the pick, because at 10, they got Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle from Alabama. This seemed like the biggest no brainer of no brainers.
Yeah, you know what's really annoying is all the teams in my division did a great job at drafting, and I think my team did an okay job. You know, and that's, you know, if you look at those draft grades again, the Browns two spots below the Bengals.
They were seven, a 3.51 GPA.
3-5-7, by the way. Ravens 3, Bengals 5, Browns 7, Steelers in the 20s.
20-something, there.
Yeah, so this is annoying. I mean, not only getting Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle from Alabama, that's just a great job to sit at 10 and still get him. And then in the second round, they moved up a little bit to get him, but 44th overall, they got Grant Delpit, the safety from LSU, who before the season started, Grant Delpit was in every mock draft as a top 10 pick.
I was about to say, didn't you at one time think that was the Niners pick at 31 that they would go Grant Delpit?
Yeah. And I thought when I made that pick for the Niners in the mock draft that I did, I was like, there's no way Delpit falls this far. Like, that was my thought, was like, if he falls to the Niners, they have to take him. This is stupid. And he fell to 44. So to get him, just a excellent team leader, took a little bit of a step back this year, but we found out he was also playing banged up for a good chunk of the season. So just a stud there who's going to start immediately. They took two starters from day one, walking onto the team. Then they got some depth at that nose tackle position with Jordan Elliott from Missouri. Jacob Phillips is just a tackling machine. I'm looked up his stats. The Welsh, 113 tackles last year in college, 7.5 for a loss, 1 sack. He has 1 career pick as well, but he's just that secondary guy that stands next to your playmaking middle linebacker that is going to rack up tackles. Mm-hmm. So, Great job taking him. Another one, I mean, I hate it for fantasy, but Harrison Bryant, I believe, led the nation in targets for tight ends last year.
He also kind of leads more of the speculation of why Njoku just doesn't make sense for this team anymore. You know,
right.
Spending the money they did on Austin Hooper and then drafting Harrison Bryant, like, I'm kind of shocked. I'm kind of shocked Njoku didn't get traded during the draft, but I still think there's time for this to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, someone's tight end gets hurt, you know, something like that happens. You get teams that are a little bit more desperate moving closer this season. So that's probably, if he does get dealt, it'll probably be a week or two before the season starts. Nick Harris, the center from Washington State, and then they rounded it out with One of the wide receivers I thought was very, very underrated, and this is why you wanted to take one in this year's draft, is because he fell all the way to the six. I saw Packers fans clamoring for the Packers to please take Donovan Peoples-Jones, a wide receiver out of Michigan, because they didn't get a wide receiver in the draft. Please just take this dude. He's fallen all the way down here, and they didn't do it. And he ends up on the Browns roster, which is going to be difficult to make with all the good wideouts they already have. So just another fantastic job by an AFC North team. That's not the Steelers. So
yeah, over 8 wins, over under. It's plus 110 on the under, minus 134 on the over.
I mean, 8's such a good number for Cleveland. Yeah, you know,
I don't know. I can't take the over.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to take the under until they do it, right?
Yep.
You just have to, until this team gets on their horse and wins 10 games, 12 games, wins a division, something, you just have to, you have to take the fact that they're still the Browns and go under. You just have to.
Over on the AFC West, let's see if we can plow through this here. We got four teams to get through in about 10 minutes, so we'll see if we can get this. AFC West, we're starting with the Denver Broncos, who had a big primary need, at least on the list, even on their secondary. They felt it so necessary, they put it twice. Secondary need of a wide receiver. Cornerback, offensive tackle. I think you look at defensive line is definitely something that they wanted to go with. And the Denver Broncos, they really made a statement in my eyes with their first two picks where they went wide receiver. They didn't have to trade up to get a wide out. They got Jerry Jeudy fall to their laps at 15. And they went and got a slot receiver that I really, really like in KJ Hamler. With the 46 overall pick. So they quieted all those needs. So this is a team now that is filled out at the wide receiver spot. They're young. They've got Noah Fant as well at tight end. This offense looks very, very primed. They ended up spending a third-round pick that was in a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers on an offensive lineman. And then it really looked like, you know, I mean, they obviously played the defensive side, but they just started building around, you know, need. Like they could see the needs of where they wanted to go, and they were just taking flyers on talent across the board. The Denver Broncos, I thought, did a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, going 1-2 punch with Jeudy and Hamler, you just make Drew Lock as good as he possibly can be by giving him all the options that he possibly can. They also did that in the fourth round by taking what might be the best receiving tight end in this draft in Albert Okwuegbunam. Then, you know, the big corner out of Iowa, Michael, oh man, I'm going to try it here. Jumedia, he's from what I've read, he's a great zone coverage guy, and they play a lot of zone, obviously, with those big pass rushers. Cushenberry falling to the third, I thought was eye rolling. I thought they got a great job with him. Strand fell as well, and Derek Tezuka from North Dakota State fell. So they had many, many picks. They filled many, many needs, and this team should be pretty good. What's their DraftKings over under?
Their DraftKings is, this is a tough number here, man. It is 7.5. Now here's why it's tough. It's a minus 110 on both sides over under 7.5 because Drew Lock is the biggest wild card that's put into this equation. But it's looking, as each day goes by, it looks less likely that they would go and bring in a guy like Cam Newton, like I've been talking about and predicting. This would be, I would punch the over in a heartbeat, and it's tempted to take the over because if they were to go make that move. But, you know, they surrounded Drew Lock with so many good weapons. I think it's hard to really, you got to be willing to, this
they
is
won
a true
seven
gamble.
Games last year.
I still think so this is I'll a true gamble over. With Drew Lock the whole year. You're that comfortable 7.5? Just easy?
I'll go over 8-8. I don't know all that right. They make the playoffs, but 8-8 I could see. So
okay, Kansas City Chiefs. Oh boy, the rich get richer. What were their primary needs? Running back was one we always talk about. Cornerback, that's another side of it. Offensive line, just really anything that can help them in a win now mode, I think, is an appropriate place to do it. I think you could look at they put as secondaries linebacker and edge rusher, but ultimately if there was a hole on this team, it was probably at running back. And anytime you can protect your quarterback, you do that. And they did that, shocking everybody a bit by taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the 32nd overall pick, the last pick in the first round, just because it was over the other three running backs that almost everybody had over. But this guy fits their offense. So the Chiefs, they didn't have that many needs, Bogman, but they spread it out. They went offensive tackle in the third round, second round with the pick they got from the 49ers. They took an interior linebacker, and then they got their running back. They just filled out those tiny little needs that the team had going into this year to continue being an absolute powerhouse. The number one team as far as the gambling is going to go for a Super Bowl bid, only plus 600. You can't get lower odds than that if you want to bet on a championship winner in April right now.
Well, they didn't need a lot. So they graded out low, I think 22nd on the grades list. The draft was fine. Like, getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously, for fantasy, gigantic move. But for them, I don't know, man. I think I might have taken that big tackle out of A&M because Chris Jones makes that defense, and he's a free agent after this year. And I don't think they're going to be able to afford to re-sign him. So if you're holding out for next year, maybe you can take his money and give it to someone else. That's good. Or draft someone in the first round, but you're probably going to have a late pick again. So, look, the Chiefs are still going to stay one of the most dominant teams in the NFL. This draft was just okay to me, though. They didn't have many picks, which is fine. You can trade them away when you're champs. But, you know, Willie Gay Jr., kind of a risk, had some off-the-field stuff at Mississippi State. And someone made the joke of, oh, wow, the Chiefs taking a guy with character issues? What a shock, you know.
The Chiefs, to me, would have seemed like one of the teams, because I think you have to clearly look at what running back, even though, you know, championship team, but like what running back did with this team, like that was taken away from them until, you know, that late playoff run where Damian Williams started getting it together and they learned how to use him better. Other than that, the running game was a problem. So getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire and fitting this scheme is such a big need. But as far as, like, you're right, taking some of the risks that they did, this seemed like a team to me that would have been better suited trying to go out and make some trades for veteran type of players. You know, yes. How the Niners went and got a Trent Williams. Chiefs out there trying to go and, you know, go after Jamal Adams, or I don't know, you know, give a call to Jadeveon Clowney or something like that. Like, go spend some money in that market, then play around with the draft.
Right. They're up against a cap a little bit, but they could have found better options. You're absolutely right about that. And they did address, like, corner. They took the kid out of Tulane to carry his keys, but they need another corner. Like, I'm telling you, I know Bashaud Breedland had a pick in the Super Bowl. The dude sucks. He's not very good.
11 and a half, minus 10 on both sides.
Oh,
yeah, take the
God,
over.
That's a good number. Yeah, especially with the Patriots losing Brady, you got to go over on the Chiefs. You do.
Two more here. We'll try to plow through the L.A. Chargers. L.A. Chargers had the blatant need of quarterback, offensive tackle, and building for the future. Secondary need, corner, like a lot of these guys. I mean, if you look at the biggest glaring ones, I would say cornerback and linebacker, to me, would have probably been the biggest. And they did actually confront that with both first-round picks. Justin Herbert and Kenneth Murray. They made a couple other depthy moves that fill out the roster a little bit. I think this is a solid draft, if not actually even. I wonder where they're graded at now that I'm looking at this, because
they're a couple spots ahead of the Chiefs. So.
Okay, yeah, so it's like right about middle of the pack. I'm not sure what it is that people didn't love. You know, Joshua Kelly. I mean, they didn't have a second and a third round.
People
so
don't like Herbert.
Yeah, people don't like Herbert,
and they traded back into the first round to take Kenneth Murray one spot ahead of the Saints. Because they thought the Saints were going to take Murray or Queen. So, and that's what they needed to. They needed a linebacker, but they didn't address everything. The offensive line is still a little bit of a mess. So not drafting an offensive lineman here was a little bit surprising. I think Joshua Kelly is going to fight Justin Jackson for that role behind Austin Eckler, but he could see some carries early. Joe Reed, I thought, was an interesting pick, and I thought Joe Reed fit because he played with Bryce Perkins at Virginia, who does everything like Tyrod Taylor. He's a lot like Tyrod Taylor. He's a guy that is kind of a one read and run type of a guy. So Joe Reed knows how to play with those quarterbacks, which is the same thing that Justin Herbert is, will eventually replace Tyrod Taylor. So I thought that was interesting as a pick, but I like KJ Hill better. So a little surprising to see KJ Hill slide to the seventh round, but they didn't address that offensive line, which was disappointing.
I liked KJ Hill too. I thought that was kind of a surprise one. I would have liked the 49ers to jump in on that. Real quick, the Chargers, 7.5 with a minus 15 on the over and a 106 under. Yeah, I agree with you.
Gotta
go under.
All
right, so last team is the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders had needs all over the board. Wide receiver was at the top, and I think I sometimes wonder if this was like, hey, they need a wide receiver because they were in the prime position to get one. I mean, they obviously needed one, but I'm not even sure you could give a primary to this across the board, but whatever. Primary was wide receiver and cornerback. They literally took those with the first two picks, the 12th and the 19th overall pick. But I think there were just a lot of needs that this team needed to end up tackling. And Bogman, they scratched had people scratching their heads, getting the worst draft grade of any team by wide, wide margins. Three of their first four picks were on wide receivers. They took a cornerback that was graded out in the third round. People could not wrap their head around what the hell the Raiders were doing. Their GPA was a one, or no, they didn't get the worst one. I was thinking of the Green Bay Packers. They were there, though. 2.32, the fourth worst
grading.
I think
you think Raiders and you just look at the bottom automatically.
Well, the first two picks, everybody hated where they took Ruggs, and everybody hated the other side of the corner.
Well, I like Ruggs, and Arnett is probably a third-round guy that they reached on. That one just really surprised me, but this is what they do. They also took Lynn Bowden, who is a quarterback and a wideout, to play running back, so that was strange, and they took Bryan Edwards immediately after him, which made it just look weird. That's all, but Tanner Muse, a guy with experience, and Mick Robertson is going to come in and play nickel corner. So they actually, I think they did better than that grade, but it's really going to depend on how they use Henry Ruggs and getting him the ball to see how this whole class grades out.
Yeah, the pieces were weirdly put together. We've got more coming up tomorrow with me. I forgot it was me tomorrow. We'll finish up with the AFC, and then we'll get into the NFC as we finish up this divisional series breakdown. ITL's on the daily here on Sports Grid, so make sure you are logged in and socked into the podcast. Make sure you're subscribed, and you can get the weekend edition as well. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. More Bogman, more Welsh. We out. Be safe.
Peace.
Gloria.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.